Hare Krishna. Om Ajnanati Nirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshuru Nuritam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Gautale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschaccha Dasatarine Chaitanya Bhavanityananda Sri Ajaita Gadadhara Siddhartha Gauravacharinanda Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Krati Vacharam, Pangurangarate Garing, Yatkita Kamhan Mande, Sigur Nithayanam, Paramanan Vahro, Sri Chaitanya Ishram. Is there Bhagavad Gita verse? What's the verse that's...
There's no particular verse, whatever you would like to speak about.
They don't have a daily class there? I heard they have.
Did anybody know where we are?
We've been studying the Divine and Demonic Nature, chapter 16.
Let's see, huh?
Do you know
what it is? Well, we've been going all the way to class.
The first verse? Or?
The first verse?
Just read the first verse. That's a nice
thing. It's a huge first one.
Would you like me to read it, Maharaj? Or do you want to read it?
Yeah. Not in the second. 6th verse. 1 day, yeah. Yeah, you can read.
So So 16. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, fearlessness, purification of one's existence, cultivation of spiritual knowledge, charity, self-control, performance of sacrifice, study of the Vedas, austerity, simplicity, non-violence, truthfulness, freedom from anger, renunciation, tranquility, aversion to fault finding, compassion for all living entities, freedom from covetousness, gentleness, modesty, steady determination, vigor, forgiveness, fortitude, cleanliness, and freedom from envy, and from the passion for honor. These transcendental qualities, O son of Bharata, belong to godly men endowed with divine nature. Purport. Okay. In the beginning of the 15th chapter, the banyan tree of this material world was explained. The extra roots coming out of it were compared to the activities of the living entities, some auspicious, some inauspicious. In the 9th chapter, also, the devas or godly and the asuras.
Long distance classes.
Sorry, the asuras, ungodly or demons, were explained. Now, according to Vedic rites, activities in the mode of goodness are considered auspicious for progress on the path of liberation. And such activities are known as Daivi Prakriti, transcendental by nature. Those who are situated in the transcendental nature make progress on the path of liberation. For those who are acting in the modes of passion and ignorance, on the other hand, there is no possibility of liberation. Either they will have to remain in this material to animals or even lower life forms. In this 16th chapter, the Lord explains both the transcendental nature and its attendant qualities, and the demoniac nature and its qualities. He also explains the advantages and disadvantages of these qualities. You want to continue reading?
What's that? This verse in the last several days. Can you hear me? This works? Hello? Hello? Hello?
Do you prefer this microphone, Mara?
You want this one too?
Whatever you like.
Okay. Yeah, both. Sorry.
So, he gave me a tulsi of Lord Jagannath, so tulsi is always a way of sticking your throat. You notice that? Make it choked up, Krishna. So, these qualities, I think, the divine nature, no, these are the divine nature. This is the divine nature. These qualities basically Arjuna had. Later on, the divine qualities are going to be mentioned. Right? Freedom from envy, and that's not a demonic, that's not a demonic quality. They're envious to everybody. So this is a divine quality. In this verse, in this chapter, the divine and demonic qualities are mentioned. So, our nature is, we have both these tendencies in this Kali Yuga, in this earth planet. So sometimes we get influenced by the demonic, and sometimes by the divine. Now we want to isolate. This is a very helpful chapter because we can see, okay, these are the divine qualities, these are the demonic qualities, we should avoid the demonic, and we should aspire for the divine. That's the nature, that those in the mode of goodness are helpful to us. Those in the mode of ignorance are not helpful. So, when you see both, you see that a lot of the qualities that people admire today are demonic. You know, just like the easy advertising. Passion. He has a passion for life. He has a passion for this. But technically speaking, it's not a divine quality. The way that they utilize it. Now, Arjuna or other great souls, they had a desire, they were kshatriyas, they were one of passion. So they followed a certain rules on the mode of passion. But their purpose was always to follow their dharma and to please Krishna. This was their purpose in life. Whereas the divine people, they don't see any supreme Lord. They don't see any supreme cause. Everything they see, like their own, that's coming from sex life, is coming from just like some kind of interaction of the material nature. So, in this way, the demonic people, right now, they have a very big, although in America, 99% of the people believe in God. But a lot of the qualities are demonic. Today we brought on Lingenberger to the place where I'm doing physiotherapy, and somebody said one of the persons we gave to maybe never had anything vegetarian in his life. I don't know if it's true or not, but he said he liked it. And he said he would try a tofu, I don't know what you call it, tofu sandwich. So, we're making progress. But, in any case, you know, Sarva Shakti, she's giving out cookies to everyone. So, they like the cookies. In fact, some of the patients were asking, can I have more, they call their students, but the caretakers, too many cookies, none of it. Anyway, the people, they don't know. Like, I had a disciple, his name was Jacob, and later he got known as Jagat Chandra Das. So he was obviously a Christian in India, and he said that Thomas, the Saint Thomas of the 12 Apostles, he had come to India and landed in South India and set up the church there. And then he went to Chennai, which was known previously as Madras. And there somehow he was killed or he died or something. So they have some very old texts in India of the Christian faith. And there they found that, like, St. Augustus and others were vegetarian. They believed in reincarnation. This was there up to the 5th century. So, later, it got wiped out. Some say that it was a deal made by the Emperor of Constantinople. I don't know the reality about that. Some say that he made a deal that if you make Christianity one life, I'll make it the state religion. I don't know, but that's what they say. Some people say. In any case, I was shown the teachings of Augustus and others. They were definitely vegetarian, and they believed in reincarnation. So, how much of the original teachings are now given to the Christians? It's anybody's guess. Before, they were saying that women didn't have a soul. Now they say, okay, women have a soul. You're lucked out. Now they say animals don't have a soul. Then the recent Pope said animals have the breath of life. So what is the breath of life? What is the soul? Now, we believe that everyone has a soul. Everyone is a soul. And they go from one breath to the next. And eventually they take the human birth. And the human birth, some are devotees and some are demons. The adult categories are there. Now, who wants to be a devotee? Who wants to be a demon? Okay, so nobody in this room wants to be a demon. Very good. Hare Krishna. So, but a lot of the things we're taught in our universities or taught in our different forms of knowledge are basically the demonic teachings. And this chapter is not discussed much. But it could be a very important chapter. I was thinking because I was invited last year, before I had my stroke, last year, because it was in 2008. In about 2 weeks, it'll be 2010, it'll be the year before last. But now, last year, I gave a lecture at the Unitarian Church. Now, they're very olden. They're olden to. They have, in fact, they have the Bible, the Bhagavad Gita, and a few holy texts in their doorway. But I was invited to several other churches to go for some interfaith discussion. So I was thinking that it would be nice to have experts from each, like Christianity, Protestant, and the Roman Catholic, the Islam, Buddhism, they have experts, a panel of experts for each religion that comes up with the things that are similar and the things that are different, and how we should preach to those different people. There's one lady who's a disciple of Gopal Krishnamurti. Her name is Radhika Devadasi. She's written a book about the Sikh and Vaishnava, how the Sikh and the Vaishnava are very much in harmony, that the Sikhs mentioned the name Govinda Hari like thousands of times in their grandson. So she shows that how if you want to practice Sikhism properly, you'll be also following the Vaishnava tenets. Something like that. So this kind of literature would be interesting to have as a resource to reach out, because many people, they don't know what a Krishna consciousness is. Like Prabhupada said that Krishna consciousness is the postgraduate study for all the different religions, that they can study their own religion and then postgraduate will be Krishna consciousness, because in most of the religions they don't really have information about personality of Godhead, spiritual world. You know, like in the Old Testament, they show Moses talk to some flaming bush. What is the personality of Godhead? What does he look like? What does he do? It's a big mystery. Whenever they don't know something called a mystery. So, then I went to the Mormons once. I was invited at that time by the DDT from here to go there. Many, many years ago, that was about 30 years ago or something. And we went to Salt Lake City in Utah, and we found out it took a lot to get through and to find out what was their core philosophy. And we found out they believed that anyone, if they're very pious, they can become the creator of the universe, and they can create so much progeny. That's why they had before polygamy. They were practicing, I guess. So it sounded like a Brahmaism, like the leading thing of Brahma. And one of their children would be Jesus. I said, what about a Supreme God? This is a mystery. We don't know yet. It hasn't been revealed. We know every universe. There's unlimited millions of universes. Everyone has a creator. We can become the creator, which we also believe that someone who's very pious, they could become a Lord Brahma. But it's, you know, it took a lot, like a whole day of to actually get them to say what was their real philosophy. Otherwise they had movies of the dog going out to heaven, and the grandma and grandfather and the granddaughter and grandson, everybody all wearing white robes and hugging each other, being together. What was the philosophy? That it took a lot of probing to find out. So ultimately, they don't believe in a Supreme God yet. I mean, they don't say there isn't or is. They don't know. At least they didn't know 25 years ago. Like that. It's interesting, but they do believe in a kind of creator like a Brahma. And they say that Jesus is the son of this creator. If that were true, that would make Jesus the son of Lord Brahma, or Manas Putra or something, or Putra of Brahma. Who knows, you know? Prabhupada said that Jesus was now in Janaloka, and there his very loyal followers had come and meet him. And Janaloka is especially a very exalted planet beyond the heavenly planets. It's a Satya, I forget the exact order, Chata, Jana, and Mahaloka? Huh? How does it go? Mahar? So it's in the top four. So that's a very interesting. Is those planets? They hardly have any of that karma. It's they're just thinking of the welfare of the universe. So, but a little bit, you know, shall we say, not necessarily pure Krishna conscious, but they want to see the material well-being of the universe. So, like this, there's different great souls in the universe who have these very good qualities. The quality that one time Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was asked to come and speak at some sadha. But he said he could only, he shouldn't speak on the Puranas. Because they're afraid that, Puranas, he'll come out with some bhakti. He said, okay. Then they said, well, you shouldn't speak on the Upanishads. Okay. You should only speak on the four Vedas. Okay. then finally they say, oh, then there you don't come. So, because even the four Vedas, they say, like Rig Veda says, Om Krishna Dai Sat Chaitananda Gana Krishna Adi Purusha Krishna Purushottamaha. That Krishna, Om Krishna Dai Sat Chaitananda Gana, that Krishna has the guna of Sat Chit Ananda, Krishna Adi Purusha. Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. Krishna Purushottama. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. There are verses in the original Vedas, also very much Krishna conscious, although it's not like the overwhelming teaching of the four Vedas, but it's there. So this verse is very similar to the Rama Sanhita, so I remembered it. Om Krishna Gana Satchinanda, Om Vaya Krishna, and Arishad. So, Satchinanda Gana Krishna, Hushu Krishna, Hushu Tumaha. So anyway, we need not have, like someone's brought up Prabhupada in the Kumbh Mela in 1970. He said that we need all the good pious activities he did before, and then he can become a devotee. But I don't see any of these good qualities in me. I don't see how I can become a devotee. Because I don't see these good qualities in me. I don't say the person that said this. He's in my 20s, but he's here in LA now. Anyway, that was in 1971. So, then Prabhupada hesitated. He looked and he said, I made your good fortune for you. I made your good fortune for you. Prabhupada ki. Prabhupada ki. Prabhupada ki. So, we may not have done all these pious activities, but of Prabhupada's mercy, he can also make our good fortune. So that's what he said he did in some cases. That the idea is if you achieve devotional service, you don't have to go back and do any of the pious activities. You can directly just continue with your devotional service. That is enough. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, do you have any chits, any slips of paper? Usually what I do is someone to sing a bhajan for 15 minutes. And then they hand out the slips of paper, and I get questions and answers. Questions, and I get tired of giving the answer.
We have a mic for questions
here. Okay. All right. So, anyone has a question on this verse?
Question.
All right. Any Krishna conscious topic?
Question here.
Don't ask them and take too long
to
reply. Okay.
Arch, here in America they have a saying, don't bite the hand that feeds you. Yeah, so based upon what you just said about, you know, you just told that little story where Prabhupada said to that devotee, I've made your good qualities. I've created your good fortune. So it sounds like it's, you know, our being here, our ability to be here in the Krishna conscious movement is just all Prabhupada's mercy. He's, you know, as you said, he created our good fortune. So What is the position of people who were at one time in the movement, and they were followers of Srila Prabhupada, but have given up following Srila Prabhupada, but are still practicing devotional service in some form or another? Are they actually really still engaged in devotional service, even though they've given up following Srila Prabhupada? I mean, is it possible for somebody to be a devotee, really actually to be a devotee, and give up following Srila Prabhupada?
If they're still practicing devotional service, how do you say they give up devotional?
Well, they've given up, the following the GBC of this movement. They've sort of broke company with the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and they're practicing devotional service outside, Prabhupada's movement.
If they haven't taken like reinitiation, if they haven't taken some other spiritual master, then they should be following Prabhupada, even if they're not very active yet anymore in the it's an individual case. In some cases, if they're ultimately inimical to the GDC, maybe there's a situation that could be questioned, but say they're not inimical. They're practicing some things. They're still vegetarian. They chant a few rounds. They do some puja in their house. We don't consider that they're not devotees. They're not the active. They're not Uttam, Kanishna, Uttam, Adyam, Kanishna, and Adam. Maybe they're fallen disciples. Maybe they don't practice very strictly. But nonetheless, I know some of them, after a long time, they came back. And then they said, I made a big mistake, leaving, but I had to learn. Living with the, in the material world, living with the karmis. Now, before I thought the devotees were not good, but now I learned to appreciate the devotees. I know the karmis for what they are. So I've seen also people like that. So I don't like to write anyone off. We try to bring them around. At the same time, there was Nitai Das. He took some initiation from some Shastriji or someone in Vrindavan. So the Prabhupada said he will not get another bona fide guru for 200,000 births. So he said, wow, that's a lot. He said, no, I reduced it. He actually shouldn't get for 10 million. I reduced it to 200,000. So it was very light. So we don't want to give up Prabhupada, so to speak. Maybe there's some people they don't follow very strictly, but they might not be what we consider the loyal followers of the GDC and ISKCON. But nonetheless, they have some respect for Prabhupada. They may come here on Janmashtami or some occasion. I heard that from Nityas Puja. The disciples used to cook a nice fish. I don't know now if they do. But that fish was so nice that even the Ritiks would come. Although they don't believe in their gurus, but for the priest, everyone comes. So, I don't know what's the fact of that, but eventually, recently, we had another of the so-called Riktiks who came back to ISKCON in Malaysia. So they realized that ISKCON was carrying out Prabhupada's order more than their whatever their concocted philosophy was. So they came back. Now, like that, we're ready to alter, to accept and forget, you know. I think that's the mood that the Prabhupada also had. So we'd like to accept everyone. And there's some people out there who are not yet, maybe they have decided to be active. If they're very much critical and negative, they probably won't come. If they're a little open, they may come. So, I think our mood is we want to be open that they come. That people who are not, people who are inimical, who are like hypercritical, and they could destroy the faith of our existing congregation and devotees. Those people, we limit their whatever we can. I mean, we limit their access. But apart from that, if they're just innocent people, they come. We welcome them. Is it? I don't know. I've been out of touch for a year, but that's the policy that I understand. We're not asking to give class or anything until they, you know, unless we know their situation. But in general, we're often that people return back to the fold, return to the active stance. Other question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you. I have a little question about the modes of nature and devotional service. It's a little confusing topic to me sometimes. We understand that devotional service or devotees are transcendental, but then other times I've heard that we can perform devotional service also contaminated by different modes of nature. Can you explain this a little bit for me, please? Thank you.
In the beginning, I didn't hear the words he said. Mobilization, something.
And I was asking about that sometimes I've heard that two things. One is that devotional service and devotees are transcendental. And then sometimes I also hear that devotional service can be performed influenced by the modes of nature, like in passion, in ignorance, and goodness, or pure goodness. So I was just a little curious about this.
Your name is? Jai Baladeva Das. In the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the teachings of Kapila Dev to his mother Devahuti, he describes that there's devotion and goodness and passion, ignorance and niches. So if you mix, you get, it's like yellow, red, and blue. You know, in our computers you get like 16 million colors. And from those three fix-ups. So, but so it gives example of the goodness, attraction, and the ignorance. Ignorance like say someone they drink devotional service like say Dula. He wanted to get a planet, a kingdom greater than his father's. So his initial motive was in fashion. But once he realized Narayana, then he thought, I got diamonds, I got gems, but I wanted to get a broken glass. So he changed his whole attitude, and after that he became a pure devotee. So each of these mixed devotees, it says, reject Lala. They have a separatist mood and not exactly in harmony with Krishna. They have some other motive. A pure devotee wants Krishna should be pleased. So I said, only one kind of pure devotee, selling millions of kinds of mixed devotees. Maybe not pure goodness, but one part goodness, one part passion, one part ignorance, or three-part goodness, two-thirds passion, one part ignorance. Ignorance, an example is like someone's, I want to do great in devotional service, I want to show this devotee that I am a greater devotee than he is. I say, out of anger, or I want to, so that could be like ignorance, devotion mixed with ignorance. What is your motive? So if someone's motive is to please Krishna, then it's pure bhakti. If their motive is something else, to achieve liberation, is goodness. To achieve some position, pratishtha, that's in fashion. To gain some, like some people do devotion, with the idea that they'll get from God some some kind of material benefits. There's a prayer they play over the radio in Bengal on the Mahalaya Day. It's a day dedicated to Devi Puja, and it's from the one of the Puranas. So there, it says like the prayers of the Devas, let the world be peaceful, let everything be nice, the prayers of the human beings, give me money, give me wealth, give me a good house, give me a good wife, give me a good this, give me a good that. Dhanandeh, Vatishtha Deh, Fujandeh, I want this, I want that, like the whole shopping list. And then there's the prayers of the demons to the deity. Give me alcohol, give me intoxication, give me this, give me, you know, like they want all the things in the world of ignorance. So there's like different, of course this was a prayer to take that. I still remember the prayers, you know, Dhanam Deha, Vrishta Deha, Hujam Deha, you know, I want this, I want that. So there are some people who worship God, maybe not ISKCON devotees, but there are some people they worship like that. They want that the Lord should give them a good house, a good life, a good this, a good that. So it's not pure bhakti. They don't know about pure bhakti. See, so now some devotees, then they also mix some of these gunas. That's why when we pray for like a health of our spiritual master or some devotee, we always like to add, if it so pleases you, please, if it so pleases you, we qualify that. A Krishna has some other plan. Okay, he's the thing, we want to please him. If it's all the same to him, then if it pleases him, please save our spiritual master, or please save our this devotee. So, we don't just ask for material things without qualifying them. So, some devotees, I didn't hear it directly, I heard from other devotees that Prabhupada told him that many of his disciples would take birth in heavenly planets. That they wanted a comfortable life, so many of these, the Chinnana Prabhu was talking about, people that left, but they did some devotional service. Maybe they get to take birth in heavenly planets. Because a little bhakti goes a long way. But if you want to go back to Godhead, he should mainly want to go back. He should mainly want to please Krishna. So, if there's some devotee that is a little mixed, then he may not get right back to Krishna. He may get first go, as explained in the Bhagavad Gita. He may go to some heavenly planet, spend some time there, come down. That possibility is there. One devotee in India many years ago, he was a funny devotee. He told me that next life he wanted to be born in either Swarga or America. So he thought America was like Swarga. I said, you don't know America, it's not like Swarga. But he had that idea that he was unusual as an unusual devotee. So, there are all kinds of devotees. But he was a good service attitude. But his desire, he thought, I'm not qualified to go back to Godhead. At least I can be born in Swarga or America. America is like Swarga on earth. So, then I'll be happy. Maybe he changed his mind in the meantime, I know. Do you think America is like Swarga? What do you think, Tiny? We go to the Saturday in the morning, so we're like four or five people in the car. So you go in the car full of it. You see all the other cars backed up in a traffic jam. I don't know if they feel like it's a Swarga Loka right then. I never heard there was jams in Swarga Loka, but anyway. At least the roads in L.A. are a little bit good. The roads in New York, they got holes in them. Next question. Any ladies have a question? Here, lady. What's your name? Krishna?
Yes, Sorry, I have, it's Michelle.
Bhakti Michelle.
Bhakti?
Michelle.
Oh, Bhakti Michelle.
Okay. So. Sorry. I had asked some devotees this question, and I was wondering what your response would be to clarify it. My doubts. In my experience, I feel that there's a lot of times where I still commit, you know, like karmic things, like how in one of the chapters in Bhagavad Gita where it talks about where you give in charity, like my tendency is to give in charity, but sometimes it's not necessarily in like just giving complete, you know, something pure like prasadam or, you know, giving the holy name. But say it's something else, like someone needs help with something, and they're not necessarily practicing strictly. They're just somebody outside, you know, a regular working person. So to help them in any way other than Krishna consciousness directly, if it's indirectly, can you clarify how to understand what is considered proper and not proper, or favorable and not favorable? Is that too general? Or?
Particularly about charity.
Yes.
It doesn't sound up. Loud speaker doesn't. It's not.
She wants to know what is proper charity for a devotee. You know, what is proper charity and what is improper charity?
Fine. In the Bhagavad Gita, Hare Krishna says, everything we do, everything we give away in charity, should be done as an offering to Him. So, I think you mentioned that, like if you give up prasadam or something directly, Hare Krishna conscious, that's ideal. At the same time, like in India, you have a beggar who comes to that window asking for money. You don't really know who's bona fide, who's not. We tend to give everyone prasadam. Now, then there may be a situation where, there's some devotee who has maybe some disease or a child with disease or a child with some special need, and that devotee needs help. So we can give the help if we have the means. The idea is we should be able to do it, that I'm doing this on behalf of Krishna. I'm doing it because he's a devotee of Krishna, she's a devotee of Krishna. And so I was stuck one time. I was driving with Rupanuga Prabhu from LA to Chicago. And then on the way we had a car accident. And so he told me to go to Denver, which was nearby. The accident was in, say, New Mexico or something. So I went up to Denver, And that was like 1970, so it was a new, it wasn't in Denver, it was an older. That time they were brand new, and they didn't know. So they asked me how to tell you sorry. I didn't have too much idea, being a Brahmachari, but whatever I know, I showed Kanta Devi, I think her name was. Later, so I'm sure it was wrong, but that was how new they were. They asked me to show them how to wear sari. So then they helped me to get to Chicago. It was very kind of them. So then I helped to start the Chicago Center. At that time, it was in what's called as the Old Town. So I think that the help given was given with the idea that this was a Krishna conscious help. And we do recommend to our congregation that, you know, if someone is a, they can get either anonymously or however way they want, in the name of Krishna, they can get some help if it's another person in, say, dire need. The idea is they should, in good conscience, think, I'm just doing this to please Krishna. Not if they're doing it because they think that they don't think the time and place, and they just get it out of the false ego. That's in the mode of ignorance. If they do it with the idea that they'll get something back in return by giving a charity, that's in the mode of passion. If they give it considering the time, place, circumstance, but you know, to a worthy, a person they think is worthy, that's in the mode of goodness. If they do it because it's pleasing to Krishna, then it's Krishna conscious. So you want to do things which are Krishna conscious. That's the standard of devotees. Last question. If you have some later, if you want to talk to me, if you have some more explicit question I can think of.
Hello, Maharaj. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for being here. My question is, I was wondering if you could tell us your most heartwarming or most heavy experience with Prabhupada, personal experience.
You'd like to know some pastime I had with Prabhupada?
Yes.
One time, Prabhupada called me, Chaitanya, Chaitanya! And he was in the toilet. So I ran, and there I saw that in the crack of the door there was a lighter, a very highly poisonous snake, which was trying to hit Prabhupada. And the Prabhupada was holding the snake in the crack of the door. So he said, help. So what do you do? And I opened the door, maybe the snake was right there. So I didn't know what to do. And then I thought, okay, if I close the door, he couldn't close the door because his fingers were wrapped around the door. If I close the door, I crush the snake. And then I open it and grab the Prabhupada. Probably the snake, well, in the crushed state, will not be able to like Prabhupada. So I crushed I told Prabhupada to go. I crushed the snake in the door and then opened the door and pulled Prabhupada out. And then we were told that if you just, all the snakes go in pairs by locals. And the mate of the snake will look in the eyes and see the last person whose image in the retina, and then try to find that person and bite. Take vengeance. There's a very endless animals. So they recommend we burn the snake. And also, the snake doesn't die until nighttime. So the tail keeps wiggling until night, and then it goes. Because the daytime is 2 hours for a snake. This is what the locals tell us. I don't know. I don't find this written in any shastra. But Prabhupada was concerned. Where's the snake? And he saw another snake go down the hole behind. So Prabhupada wanted us to find that snake, but he could never find it. So he was thinking that someone had planted the snakes in Jai Jagannath. Jai Vini Rakadesha Jai Lode Smadraki. So that was a very intimate kind of a pastime of Prabhupada. A little intense. But he was concerned whether someone had planted that snake. So before you leave, we have some cookies.
Cookies.
Prashad.
Cookies. Prashad.
Where's the cookies?
Right.
How many get it? Two lines. One for ladies, one for men. This is Dorothy, I should give them the right hand. They told me you take it.
Oops.